future activity. We're concerned about today.
The Consumer Federation of America, which blames the Fed for ignoring warning signs of the mortgage meltdown, is questioning the plan to give the agency even broader power. Lower supply and higher demand could continue driving up prices of products made with corn. The price of corn has nearly tripled since 2005, part of the increase being driven by the massive demand for corn-based ethanol fuel. The White House is expressing optimism that Washington and Moscow will be able to resolve a bitter dispute over European missile defenses this weekend. That's when President Bush and Russian President Putin are slated to meet, all part of Bush's NATO summit trip. In case you missed the Today Show this morning, Matt Lauer announced who's going to be the new co-anchor of the show's fourth hour.
Kathy Lee Gifford is the newest member of our Today team. Joining us as the co-anchor of our fourth hour starting April 7th.
Gifford joked it's time for her to get out of the house.
It's going to be good to be working because I'm really tired of staying home watching Frank's old, you know, his highlight films in black and white. You look good. So, that's why they call you a tight end, honey.
This is AP Radio News. Rain has postponed the final opener at historic Yankee Stadium.
A steady drizzle did not deter a sellout crowd for opening day at Yankee Stadium, or what would have been opening day if the mist had not been more persistent than predicted. Umbrellas and ponchos at the ready, thousands of fans like Rich Cahill gathered at curbsides and in parking lots with grills honoring their own preseason, pregame tailgate traditions.
We're cooking. We got some venison chili going on over there. The umbrella was a little extra we added at the end.
The Yankees and Toronto Blue Jays will try again Tuesday night to open the season, the 84th and last at Yankee Stadium before the team moves to a new ballpark across the street. Warren Levinson, New York.
Thunderstorms and tornadoes have been battering some of the states in the south and the plains. An overnight twister knocked out utilities in Oklahoma County, Oklahoma.
Several large power transmission poles were blown down.
National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Taylor says nearly 4 inches of rain fell in parts of the county. Ross Simpson, AP Radio News.
Hey, it's Pat Gray for my friends at MVP Mechanical. It's getting hot again, and time to start thinking about your air conditioning unit. Rising energy costs, of course, taking a toll on all of us. In your home, your AC is responsible for 40 to 60% of your electricity consumption, but there's a great new way to save a bunch of money and make your home feel better. Permafrost. This is a treatment that can reduce the energy consumption of your AC up to 20%. Permafrost allows the AC unit to blow colder, less humid air, and so that allows it to run less to cool your home. Call them today and have them install this permafrost in your home and in your car, and both will work more efficiently and blow colder, less humid air. 877-75-FROST. Or you can learn more at permafrostinfo.com. It's a one-time treatment, lasts the life of your equipment. It actually lubricates the compressor, so it's good for your equipment. Again, call my friends at MVP Mechanical for permafrost. 877-75-FROST or online at permafrostinfo.com.
Are you struggling to read the alarm clock in the morning? Tired of going out to eat and not being able to read the menu? Well, if you've been told you're not a candidate for LASIK laser vision correction, International Eye Care may be able to help. Not all LASIK is the same. The experienced team at International Eye Care is led by Dr. Charlie Moore, who has done over 40,000 procedures. Call International Eye Care for a free consultation and get the facts about LASIK. Learn about the Allegretto Wave IQ laser. At International Eye Care, revolutionary technology allows you to see what LASIK can do for your vision before the procedure. It also minimizes problems like reduced night vision glare and the halo associated with older technology. Financing now available. Pay no interest for 18 months. Experience the difference in personal customized care that only International Eye Care can provide. They have been the leaders in LASIK surgery. They're at Wilcrest and the Katy Freeway. Call them at 713-984-9777. 713-984-9777 or go online to texaslasik.com.
What if 115 teenagers died in a plane crash? Boom. Gone. Just like that. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Now imagine that happened every single week. Week after week. For a year. 115 teenagers do die every week, nearly 6,000 a year. But they're not dying in plane crashes. They're dying in cars, 115 a week. It's time to do something about that. like being more careful at night and not talking on your phone or texting while you're driving. And that's only a start. Pay attention, or you could pay the price. Go to tdriver.com and find out more about what you can do. Sponsored by the Texas Department of Transportation and aired in cooperation with the Texas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Alternatives for Health and Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Osborne, and Dr. Davis is with me tonight. And we've also got a special guest, Dr. Gill, who is from Sciona Labs, and we're going to be talking a little bit about nutrigenomics. Nutrigenomics is a term that basically refers to nutrition and genetics and the interrelationships that the two inherently hold. For example, a person can have a gene that helps metabolize or that helps to process folic acid, but if the gene is varied slightly, then they need more folic acid in their diet, and so that's what nutrigenomics is. It's the study of genetic interactions with certain nutrients in the diet. So that's the topic of tonight's show. It's going to be quite exciting, and we look forward to you guys calling in. So if you have questions and you want to speak to anybody on the show tonight, Dr. Davis, Dr. Gill, or myself, feel free to call in. The number's 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. We love questions. We love to get those things answered for you, so feel free to call in. Once again, 281-558-5738. So back onto the topic then, nutrigenomics. We said that nutrigenomics is just a fancy doctor word that basically means how your genes interact with your environment, is, well, primarily the nutrients in your environment, so the diet, the food that you take in. So we know a lot of research and a lot of studies show that different foods are healthier than other types of foods. And to an extent, we can lump that and we can broad spectrum that and say, okay, everybody should eat a certain amount of fresh fruits and vegetables all the time. But actually, what nutrigenomics has shined a light on is that's not necessarily the case. I'm going to give you an example. I've had, just in my own clinical experience with treating cancer, I've had patients with tumors that if we treated them by giving them an all-vegetarian diet, their tumors would get worse, which is contrary to popular belief. And this boils back down to nutrigenomics. Not everybody's the same, and so you can't make the broad-spectrum assumption that one person who would benefit from one type of diet would be just as beneficial as another person, even if they had the same condition with the same type of diet. And it really boils back down to personalized medicine, which is doing, as a doctor, doing a thorough exam on the patient, doing proper objective testing and measurements to isolate what makes that person unique, what makes that person different. And nutrigenomics, the field of nutrigenomics and doing genetic testing, is really where medicine is headed. It's the future of medicine. And many would predict that in the year 2050, you can go after you're born, you get a DNA sample done, and you know what all your genes are and what all your genetic variants are. And you have this imprinted card, maybe even imprinted on your thumbprint, where you can go into the grocery store, you can scan your thumbprint, and it will print out a grocery list for you of things that you should be buying based on your genes to keep you healthy, to keep you from, you know, getting sick. Now, we can't say that certainly that would be 100% accurate in preventing illness. Nothing is, and nothing is that predictable. However, if we want to put the odds in our favor, if we want to act preventatively, this is probably the most logical and next best step in medicine. It's personalized medicine. It's taking genetic information about a patient, making clinical decisions, and instructing and teaching and educating that patient about their genes, because now they can take that information, they can apply it to their life, and they can accommodate their genes. See, in life we have genes that we can't change, and so you're born with them. And what does that basically mean? That means, if you're born with a gene that predisposes you to high cholesterol, you can't go in and get that gene changed. And even if a therapy came out where you would be able to do that, the long-term consequences of that scare me and should scare you as well. But what you can do is you can accommodate your lifestyle to match your genes. And that's what it's about. I mean, I'm going to give you a very extreme example of that scenario. If you were to be placed in an Arctic environment tonight and said you have to survive 5 days, how long would you actually really survive? Not very long. Why? your genes would not accommodate you to survive in that type of environment. Well, that's an extreme measure. There are other, we'll take it back down to just a clinical aspect, which is you take a person who has a genetic marker that predisposes them to developing high blood pressure or high cholesterol or high levels of a chemical called homocysteine, which is an increased risk factor for heart disease. We take these individuals that have these risks, and what can we do then? Because the risk is in their gene, so we can't change the gene. Well, we have to find some way to do basically what's called genetic bypass, which is hopefully accommodate the environment or change the environment, change the food, supplement the patient, some type of intervention that would accommodate the gene more efficiently so that their overall expression would be that of health. And that's what we call a phenotypic expression, which is just basically an environment plus your genes equals your expression. Whether that's healthy or whether that's diseased is up to how you treat your body and what you know about your body so that you can know how to treat it one way or the other. So that's kind of a basic rundown of nutrigenomics and how this works and what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so once again, if you have questions and you need to get answers to questions, maybe even that don't relate to necessarily specifically nutrigenomics, feel free to call in. We'll try to field those as best we can as we get time to do them. But our number here is 281-558-5738. Once again, that's 281-558-5738. Call in with your questions. We've got tonight Dr. Gill, who has a PhD in, was it biological sciences with a specialty or a subspecialty in
molecular
toxicology. Yeah. So welcome tonight, Dr. Gill. I want to thank you for coming and being here and allowing us to basically to get more information about this field, which you're an expert in. And so I'm going to let you kind of take over and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you very much. I actually did my PhD training at a research branch of MD Anderson, and so it's great to be back in Texas, and I was really happy to see the blue bonnets. I haven't been here in a while. So if we talk about nutrigenomics, I think you gave a great introduction, and it is very much about understanding how our genes impact our kind of health and wellness equation. Your genes don't determine your fate, and since I started Sciona back in 2000, that's been one of my biggest messages I wanted people to understand, is to help people understand that your genes, yes, they're fixed at birth. You inherit what you based on your parents, and what we can do though is understand how these genes interact with your environment, with the types of foods you eat, so that we can give you information that can help you get on the right track to be as healthy as you can be.
Excellent. We're fixing to go to break. I want to take a quick phone call from Peter, who's calling from Houston. He's got a question about supplementation. Go ahead, Peter, you're on.
Mine might take more than a quick comment, because I'm very interested in what you're talking about. I've been studying it for many years because I'm diabetic, and I'm also a serious athlete. It seems to me like your model is very narrow, and the issue we're talking about is multidimensional. For example, you're going to provide some kind of supplement or maybe more of something for intake. How do you accommodate the cofactors? Second thing is, how do you accommodate the it's not just genetics, it's also environmental. How do you build that into your model?
Well, we build that in with personalization. Primarily what we're looking at when we take in a patient is we're looking at, one, what is wrong with the patient? What is the clinical condition? What is going on in this patient that is basically leading to an abnormal state of being, whether it be disease, whether it be subclinical disease, where they're just manifesting symptomatology that is pre-disease, such as just generalized fatigue or muscle aches or not recovering from a workout as fast. These are all aspects and avenues that we look into. To answer your question, how do we look at that? Well, one of the things that we do is we get personalized by doing specific types of lab testing. And the lab testing that we do basically takes information about that person, and it's functional testing or it's genetic testing. So it's information that we can take about that person, apply to their disease clinically, and then either create an intervention plan where we use certain types of supplements based on what we get back objectively, not just guessing this person needs more vitamin C because vitamin C is healthy to help athletes recover, but we actually want to know, does this person really need vitamin C? Does this person really need vitamin A? Does this person really need vitamin D? Does this person have a genetic mutation or a genetic variant that doesn't allow them to metabolize certain nutrients as well? And if so, is their diet providing an adequate amount of these particular types of nutrients to accommodate their genes so that their phenotypic expression or their overall outcome of health is one that is actually healthy as opposed to not.
The cofactors and so forth? What about the portions from the cofactor in the supplement or whatever?
Well, there are different cofactors, and I want to make sure that your definition of cofactors is my definition of cofactors. And for those of you who are out there that don't understand cofactors, what we're talking about is vitamins and minerals, because essentially vitamins and minerals are cofactors. But there are different forms for different minerals. There are different forms for different vitamins. And I'm going to give you one of the most classic examples, vitamin B12, which is commonly found in supplements as a cyanocobalamin. And that's cyano, cobalamin, is a form of B12 that's not active and it's not readily available for the body to absorb very efficiently. So when we're talking about cofactors with vitamin B12, we're talking about methylcobalamin because it is the active cofactor that we can actually use clinically to supplement a patient with so that the B12 actually gets into the system and starts working right away. So, you know, in order to determine whether or not a person needs certain cofactors, once again, I allude back to what I said before, which is simply we test. We do what's called a lymphocyte proliferation testing through a lab called SpectraCell, and we look at these particular cofactors and whether or not a person is actually deficient in them. And if we can identify a deficiency, then we know what a patient needs to supplement their diet with or how they need to change or incorporate certain foods more directly. And once again, we also do genetic testing where we can identify certain genetic, what are called SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms, so that we know whether or not genetically they have a greater need for certain cofactors. So it's just personalized. It's unique to the person. Not everybody has the same gene pattern. Not everybody has the same deficiencies. Not everybody has the same stress level. Not everybody has the same environment. So we have to analyze environment, and then we have to take into consideration genetics, and we have to take into consideration how the patient presents clinically. And then we kind of use all those things to summarize and to add up and to say, okay, well, this particular patient has all these things going on. Now we have to do a clinical intervention, or maybe there's no need for a clinical intervention. It just depends. Does that take care of your question? Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Dr. Gill. We're going to get into more of the specific nutrigenomic testing that Siona Labs has to offer. And so that's really what we want to talk about tonight, is getting into these actual variants so that we can shed some light on them for some of those of you who are out there who just have questions, you know, about specifics as it relates to food and nutrients playing a role and interacting with your genes and impacting your health. So we'll be right back. The number to call in, 281-558-5738, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Have you been put on medications by your doctor to treat symptoms of disease, but no one is doing anything to identify your problem? Have you been told that you need to see a psychiatrist because your symptoms don't fit the doctor's prescription pad? Don't be a victim of mainstream sick care. Dr. Osborne specializes in helping find the answers to unresolved health problems. The future of medicine can be found at Town Center Wellness. Dr. Osborne utilizes state-of-the-art technology through genetics, specialized laboratory testing, and more to help identify the causes of your symptoms and personalize a treatment plan for you. At Town Center Wellness, you're not just another patient, you are a person. Obtain excellent health through genetic accommodation. Call today for an appointment at 281-240-2229. That's 281-240-2229. Or visit us on the web at towncenterwellness.com. That's towncenterwellness.com. Do you suffer from high blood pressure, chronic pain, memory loss, arthritis, hardening of the arteries, cataracts, or fibromyalgia? Recent NIH studies have shown that 38% of U.S. adults have blood lead levels that put them at a higher risk for a variety of health problems. To get tested for lead toxicity, call 800-360-3382. That's 800-360-3382.
Dr. Dorothy Merritt, the founder of the Chelation Centers of Texas, is board certified in internal medicine and has dedicated over 20 years to treating patients suffering from the effects of lead toxicity. To get tested, call 800-360-3382. Lead is the silent killer. Get tested, get treated. 800-360-3382.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Osborne. You're on with Alternatives for Health and Wellness. We have Dr. Davis with us tonight, and we have Dr. Gill, who is the director of Sciona Labs. And we're going to talk a little bit about genetic testing, why certain genetic aspects or why certain genes can be measured for what we call SNPs, SNPs, and that's just a big fancy word. It's single nucleotide polymorphisms, but it's just variations of genes that we all have in common. However, certain variations can have profound impacts on health. So we're going to get into a little talk about different genetic variants and what are some of those impacts that we're talking about. So I'm going to hand it back over to Dr. Gill and let her go through and talk about some of the things and some of the things that we're looking at as far as SNP testing or genetic testing so that she can elaborate. And if you've got questions, feel free to call in. The number here is 281-558-5738. Dr. Gill, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to start off talking a little bit about what exactly it means to have a variation. I think we start from the beginning that genetically speaking, if we look at our DNA, we're all 99.9% identical. And it's that little tiny percentage point that makes us all unique and individual. And that little tiny percentage point is actually different changes, different bits of code along the strand of your DNA. And what's happened is that since the Human Genome Project has been complete, I guess the final draft came out in about 2003, we've been able to take this knowledge, looking at the sequences of codes along our DNA to understand what, you know, you having one bit of code at one position, me having another bit of code at the same position, means in terms of our unique nutritional intakes. Now, when you started off, you talked about the gene related to folic acid metabolism, the MTHFR gene, and I actually have that variation. So
do I.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So it's not uncommon. It's not anything to be frightened about. It's present in about 35 to 40% of the Caucasian population. It turns out that Italians actually have the most incidence of this variation. And what it means for us is that we do have an increased requirement for folic acid so that we can keep our homocysteine levels down. I'd like to talk about another example. Now, in this case, it's not a SNP. It's actually a gene deletion. But I want to talk about it because it's kind of an interesting story, especially from the nutritional standpoint. What I'm talking about is a gene called GSTM1. It's a detoxification gene, and about half of us are actually completely missing a copy of this gene. And once again, I didn't warn you, but I'm just going to talk about my own genetics. But anyway, I'm missing a functioning copy of this gene. Well, it turns out that I have many other genes that can cope with the detoxification. But one thing that I can do to support my own body's requirements for detoxification is actually, believe it or not, eat more broccoli. Sometimes I'm teased about telling people they need to eat broccoli, but guess what? There's actually a very good reason for this. Broccoli is the single best source of a chemical called sulforaphane, which is a very potent detoxifying agent. And so for people like me, whether you like it or not, which I do, and my kids get to eat broccoli every day, broccoli is actually very important for us. And so it's learning about these little relationships and little requirements that we have that is what makes the whole field of nutrigenomics so fascinating for us. We've been involved in clinical studies where we've tracked patients that have been through our testing. We look at genes related to detoxification, like the one I just talked about. We have SNPs related to folic acid metabolism, B12, B6 metabolism. We have SNPs that affect how well people can absorb calcium and vitamin D in their diets, for instance. And by tracking these patients over time, what we found is that by giving them the information, by teaching them about their genes, providing them with the right kind of dietary plans to follow, the right type of supplements, because in some cases, and you can speak more about this than me, but in some cases, it's quite difficult to get the right levels of nutrients, particularly folic acid. That's a tough one to get from dietary sources. One of the best sources out there is liver, and I'm really sorry, but I'd much rather take a supplement. Thank you very much. But anyway, the point is that in this study that we've actually published in the Nutrition Journal, we were actually able to track patients over the course of a year, and we were seeing a dramatic effect in patients that had actually had the testing done, who understood their genetics and had this personalized program. Their cholesterol levels went down, the levels of the bad cholesterol, the LDL levels went down. The good cholesterol, their HDL levels went up. Their blood glucose levels dropped, their homocysteine levels dropped. And so that was telling us that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And an unexpected benefit of this was that the patients that needed to lose some weight were actually doing so because they were doing what their doctor told them. They were actually complying with their information, which we thought was fantastic. So we're very excited about this.
And I think from a clinical perspective, you have patients that are told in many doctor's offices, you need to exercise more because your cholesterol is high. And it's pretty much left at that, and patients pretty much left on their own to go and figure it out. But what I have found clinically, at least testing for genetic polymorphisms and different gene variants and deletions, et cetera, is that you get a patient who knows what their genes are, you explain what the variation is, mm-hmm. you explain what the impact on their health is going to be, and you explain what changes are necessary to make in their health. And the light clicks on in their mind, and it clicks on in their head, and they realize, hey, it's not just the same regurgitated information that everybody with high cholesterol is getting. I'm not just being told that I'm fat and I need to go exercise. I'm being told that I have these genetic variants, and if I don't take care of my genes, then my genes are going to act up, just like a child who acts up when he's doing something that he's not supposed to, because maybe he got too much sugar, or maybe he got, you know, too much candy at the party, and so he starts turning around and he starts jumping up and down and he gets very hyperactive. So certainly if you can extrapolate clinically that information and explain and educate a patient about how it would affect their health if they don't make some certain changes in their lifestyle, that it becomes a powerful tool. And as you said, you guys have done studies to find that there are a lot of measures that you could evaluate, that you could follow, that you could incorporate, or that you've identified that were very beneficial just by looking and accommodating this genetic material information that we get from simple testing. And a lot of people are scared of genetic testing. And one of the things that I at least it's not so much in my experience that people come in and say they're scared to get tested, because I think a lot of my patients already trust me. But just let's just say you got a patient or somebody who's out there tonight, and they're like, well, they're going to store my information in this database, and then the government is going to have it, and everybody's going to get a hold of my genes, and then 10 years from now I'm going to see myself, you know, in a mall because I'm going to have a clone that's running out there, and. Just kind of elaborate on the safety, the protocols that the right. labs and that they use, and the measures they take to kind of keep that genetic information private.
I'm glad you brought that up, because privacy protection and security of the information and the data and the genetic material is of key importance to us. We don't actually bank DNA. We don't store the DNA samples. What we do is the DNA samples are collected by a cheek swab. People rub the inside of their mouth and then send it into our labs. We isolate the DNA from the cheek cells that go onto the swabs. And when the samples come in, they're given an anonymous barcode so that everything's secure and coded. And we have many layers of protection, both hardware and software. Our database doesn't touch the internet. There's no way to hack into the information, for instance. And we have physical safeguards as well to protect the information. We take this very seriously. I don't have any plans on doing any cloning. And I think one of the things that is important to point out is that these genetic variations that we're screening for with this specific nutritional relationship, we're looking at 19 genes that have a very strong scientific background. They've been studied for many years. We know the impact it has on specific measures of health, like your cholesterol levels, like your homocysteine levels, blood glucose levels. And we also know about the nutritional information, the nutritional interventions or practices that can help to support the function of these genes. But these aren't rare variations. You know, we were talking earlier about 40%, 50% of the population. And so these are things that we share with each other. We have unique combinations for each of us. But it's one of the messages that we'd like to get across as well is this is nothing to be alarmed about. These variations have arisen over time to help us adapt to perhaps our ancestral environment many years ago. But they do make each of us unique. And by understanding our requirements, I think that actually I want to make a little plug for the University of Texas, because Roger Williams back in the 1950s started off this concept. It was called biochemical individuality. This is basically recognizing that, as we all know, one size does not fit all in terms of nutrition. And believe it or not, they actually pulled his book. It was published in 1956. It's gone into a new round of publishing in the last few years.
Absolutely a revolutionary book, way, way ahead of its time, light years ahead of its time. And a lot of doctors, even like tonight, you're referencing that book, and that it was written in 1956 says a lot to Dr. Williams and just where he was mentally above and beyond many of his colleagues, ridiculed even for a lot of his ideas.
Indeed, but he
Dr.
turned
Gale,
out.
Are you testing children right now?
Are we testing children? Does mm-hmm. Siona Labs test children?
We do allow testing of children with appropriate consent of the parents and the physician.
Okay. That was Dr. Davis with that question, by the way. Welcome, Dr. Davis. Good to talk to you tonight.
Hi there. How are y'all doing?
Fine, thank you.
So you can see there's not a whole lot of real, I mean, there's no real risk in getting your genes tested. It's basically a very simple test. It's a cheek swab. You do it at home in the privacy of your own home. You just fill out a small questionnaire, and then that we crunch the, you know, we actually analyze the genetic data, and then based on the questionnaire, we kind of take your lifestyle and they crunch that information into the test to kind of plug in where you're at and what kind of changes that you need to make based on what you're doing at the current time. I want to encourage callers at 281-558-5738. Tonight, we've actually got a couple of giveaways. To caller number 5, we'll be giving away a DNA test. So caller number 5, feel free. Call in now if you've got questions. We'll be giving away a 19-panel genetic variation test that you can use and take that information for the rest of your life and incorporate it into your lifestyle. And hopefully it would be of benefit to you. So call in at 281-558-5738. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Dr. Gill about specifically some of the other variants on the test and what they mean and how they can improve your overall health. So feel free to tune in. We're going to be right back. 281-558-5738.
Do you often tell your doctor that you're tired all the time, out of energy, have no interest in sex, and seem to have PMS all the time? The doctor probably ran your blood work and told you that everything came back normal. At the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we specialize in hormone imbalances. We don't only rely on the blood work to diagnose your symptoms, and we don't treat the individual symptoms by giving you a prescription for each one. We look for the root of your symptoms and get to the underlying problems that are causing your symptoms. Dr. Sakina Davis can help you obtain health and wellness naturally. Call the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today at 281-362-0014 and let us put you back in balance. Call today at 281-362-0014. Call the Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today. Check them out on the web at www.woodlandswellness.com.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you been put on medications to treat your symptoms because doctors have been unable to identify the cause of your depression and fatigue? Have you tried thyroid hormones without great success? Then call Town Center Wellness today. That phone number 281-240-2229. Symptoms of hypothyroidism such as fatigue, depression, and mental sluggishness have all been linked to nutritional deficiencies. Now, if you have any of these deficiencies, medications might help initially, but they will be of little benefit in the long run. At Town Center Wellness, you will be seen by a doctor who is board certified in clinical nutrition and has the ability to detect your deficiencies and customize a nutritional prescription based on your unique needs. Quit guessing about your health and call Town Center Wellness today. 281-240-2229 and schedule your appointment. That's 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229. Tired of being thick around the middle? Does your skin flap like a chicken when you wave goodbye? Are those saddlebags getting on your nerves? Well, Cool Lipo is here and the results are amazing. As we grow older, our skin begins to show the signs of sun and lifestyle. The face and neck are exposed to the sun more than any other part of the body and tend to age more quickly. And we look for expensive creams and lotions to erase the signs of aging, and some people even consider surgery. At Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we can perform Cool Lipo, a non-surgical procedure, in our office. And there's no downtime, and it takes less time than a trip to the grocery store. Consider Cool Lipo to remove fatty tissue under the chin, neck, arms, abdomen, and even thighs. Call Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center today for more information at 281-362-0014. We'll have you back in swimsuit shape in no time at all. Call us at 281-362-0014 for your Cool Lipo consultation. 281-362-0014.
Check them out on the web at www.woodlandswellness.com.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Welcome back, everybody. You're on with Dr. Osborne. This is Alternatives for Health and Wellness, and we've got Dr. Davis with us tonight, as well as we've got an expert in the field of nutrigenomics, Dr. Gill. And when we left, we were talking about certain genes that could be tested that if we knew and we had knowledge of, we could actually modify our actions in our environment, modify our diets to accommodate our genes so that our health was impacted in a positive way. And so we wanted to get back in a little bit more to that, but I want to invite you to call. The number here is 281-558-5738. And we're going to be giving away a genetic test tonight. So to caller number five, you're going to be the lucky winner of a genetic test where we can actually analyze 19 of your different genes that play roles in different disease processes and basically give you that information to keep for the rest of your life and do what you will with it. But Dr. Gill, I wanted to get into a little bit about some of the cardiovascular genes that your lab tests for and some of their functions and importance. And specifically speaking, a lot of people are curious or have heard of this chemical called homocysteine. Now, homocysteine, for those of you who don't know what it is a normal chemical that the body makes. It's a normal part of metabolism. However, if homocysteine levels are built up, in other words, if we're making so much that we can't get rid of it, or we're not getting rid of it efficiently or recycling it efficiently, then it actually damages different tissues in the body. And so, you know, we've got research on homocysteine elevations increasing and being an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease, for stroke, as well as for cancer and for Alzheimer's disease and for osteoporosis. So it's a pretty potent chemical when left unchecked. And so one of the measures I know that the CyanoLabs looks at is the genetic testing that measures the body's ability to get rid of homocysteine. So Dr. Gill, talk a little bit in depth about that and what that means and how that can be beneficial.
Well, thank you. We actually have four genes in the B vitamin metabolism pathway that are very important for this. And, you know, call in if you want to know the names. But I don't think I'll read out the list. But essentially what we're looking at is the metabolism of folic acid, metabolism of B12, and a couple that are directly involved in removal of homocysteine from your bloodstream. And so by understanding the SNPs that are involved, whether or not you have a variation that makes you more prone to have elevated of homocysteine levels, what we can do, the way our process works is we look at, with our questionnaire, we look at the levels of B vitamins that you have in your current diet. So there's a very detailed lifestyle questionnaire that you fill out for us, and we analyze that, and so we can give you some feedback on, okay, looking at your own B vitamin levels, here's where you are, but based on what we understand about your genetic variations, particularly those that are related to homocysteine levels, here's how much folic acid, how much vitamin B6, and how much vitamin B12 we really want you to take to make sure that your body's working as well as it can to remove homocysteine levels from your bloodstream. If we look at other areas of cardiovascular health, it's not just about your homocysteine levels, of course. We have genes that we look at that have an impact on your body's innate antioxidant defense. How well can you clear free radicals from your system? Free radicals are little chemicals that can go around wreaking havoc all over your body. And there are some variations that people have. And again, about 50% of us have a variation that has an impact on how efficient we are at removing these free radicals. We look at genes that are related to inflammation that have a role in your cardiovascular health. And of course, we look at genes related to triglyceride metabolism and cholesterol metabolism. And so for some people, you know, we're all supposed to keep our saturated fats low and avoid cholesterol. But for some people, it's actually very, very important for them to watch. And we all know the grandmas in France that are eating what they want and smoking what they want and allowed to. Unfortunately, we don't all have that genetic background. So this helps us to understand, you know, for you, this is actually very important. You need to pay attention to you know, the levels of saturated fat in your diet. I'm not going to go out and tell anybody they can go eat steaks every day, but nevertheless, for certain people, they do have particular sensitivities. And then we have some genes related to blood flow, the NOS gene, for instance. And I know you have some clinical experience with that gene, so I wonder if you'd like to share that.
Well, what we actually saw, we saw a patient last week who we've been treating now, and this particular patient had the variation in that particular gene, which, you know, in part helps to regulate blood pressure, but it also is a potent antioxidant. It helps with vascular regulation. So this patient had a history of chronic high blood pressure, chronic problems with blood pressure. And so one of the things that wasn't being addressed or that wasn't being taken care of with the medications that he was taking is his blood pressure wouldn't change, but the medications would make him feel terrible. And by the way, he had a detoxification deletion gene as well. So, you know, we did two things with this particular patient that I felt like were the best interventions clinically that we could do. And one of them was I put him on a particular agent that increased his nitric oxide production naturally. And so with that, we saw a 10-point drop in his blood pressure. And we're not talking about systolic drop, we're talking about diastolic drop, which is the real clinical indicator for hypertension or for high blood pressure. But the other thing I put him on was one of the ingredients was sulforaphane, which is what we were talking about before, which is found very rich in broccoli, very rich in Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, and that group of vegetables, the brassica group of vegetables. But we found that this patient actually reported feeling so much better, just reported thinking so much more clearly, and we found the blood pressure drop. So this is taking personalized medicine to a whole new evolutionary stage where we can actually incorporate genetic data into our clinical decision-making process. It doesn't diagnose the patient, it doesn't treat the patient, but it allows us then to make the right suggestions, giving the right information to that individual to make those changes so that they can have a benefit in the long term. Otherwise, they would just be told medicate. And if the medication doesn't work, well, we don't have any other options. And, you know, that's what this show is all about, is bringing people other options when they don't have answers for their health. I want to go to line one. We've got Eloise calling from Clear Lake. Eloise, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a question. I've had a blood test. I've never had high blood pressure or anything. I'm in good health. And my question is, I just had a member of my family had a stroke, which I've never thought about how to prevent a stroke. I've thought about heart prevention. You know, you eat right, you exercise, and, you know, and so on and so forth. But is there such a test like to show you how to, is a stroke different from a heart attack? And will a test like this help you, even if you're in good health, to prevent something like that?
Well, one of the best reasons to get tested when you're in good health is prevention, because you never know what you're at real risk for. We always hear about the young athlete who was in fantastic shape who dropped dead of a heart attack after performing on the field. Whether or not a genetic test like this would have saved that young athlete's life, we can't really extrapolate. But to answer your question, yeah, I think getting tested like this, especially in light of family risk or historical risk in your family of these types of conditions, is a very smart thing to do. But not only that, knowing about your own genetics so that you can accommodate your lifestyle, and I'm going to allude back to the analogy that I gave earlier about the cancer patient who we put on an all-meat diet, and this particular patient, actually the tumor regressed. And how many doctors would you hear talk about putting a patient on an all-meat diet? I mean, it's insane. But, I mean, by standard traditional thought. But in this particular patient's case, it was life-saving. So, you know, everybody's uniquely different. And that's why, in my opinion, knowing what your genes are and knowing how they can impact you are a very important piece of information to maintain health. Now, to answer your question about the actual relationship to stroke and doing a test like this, well, one of the biggest risk factors for having a stroke is having high levels of homocysteine, which is what we were just talking about with cardiovascular disease. Realizing that stroke is a form of vascular disease, and we just take the cardio off because stroke affects the nerve, or not the nerves, but the blood vessels that travel to the brain, whereas heart attack, you're basically affecting the blood vessels that go to the heart. So, I mean, there's not a lot of difference other than the tissue, the primary tissue that's being affected, but they're both being affected by the same thing, which is vascular disease. Does that answer your question, Eloise?
Yes, it does. I had another question. I just kind of slipped my mind. Let me see if I can think of it. Basically, I can't think of it, but basically you can get information. You have a website, and it would be the Woodlands Well Center. Is that correct?
I'm going to give you a couple of different websites. You can go to, I think it's Dr. Davis. What's your website?
It's woodlandswellness.com.
So Dr. Davis has a lot of invaluable references and resources on her site. You can also go to towncenterwellness.com, and we have a lot of information there about the different types of alternative treatments that are available that can be provided. But specifically, genetically, you can actually look at the test online, and you can get more information about what it does. And there's even a place there you can order it. But if you have another question and you want to hang on, we've got to take a break. Eloise, and if you want to think of that question that you had and hang on, we'll be right back. And I want to encourage everyone else to call in at 281-558-5738. We're going to go to break, and we'll see you in just a few minutes.
Warning, if you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure or high cholesterol and are currently taking medications to offset these conditions, then you need to be aware of the nutritional side effects that they can have. Commonly prescribed cholesterol and blood pressure medications may lead to deficiencies in vitamins and minerals that are needed by your body to protect the function of your cardiovascular system. A deficiency in some of these nutrients may actually cause heart disease. The doctors at Town Center Wellness specialize in identifying nutritional deficiencies with state-of-the-art laboratory testing, not available in most doctors' offices. Protect your health today by calling Town Center Wellness at 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229. Once again, Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229. Do you want to obtain optimal health and wellness naturally? At Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center, we can help you achieve optimal health with our six-point wellness program that will have you feeling great. Dr. Sakina Davis is board certified in family practice and has helped thousands of men, women, and children prevent disease. Now, if you're tired of taking multiple prescription drugs each day or you're just feeling bad, call the Woodlands Wellness Cosmetic Center for a consultation. The number is 281-362-0014. Our comprehensive program enables patients to boost their immune systems, increase their energy levels, and enjoy a better quality of life. Dr. Sakina Davis is eager to share her philosophy as she believes men and women in their midlife and beyond are entitled to look and feel their best. Call today to schedule your appointment at 281-362-0014. Again, 281-362-0014. The Woodlands Wellness and Cosmetic Center.
Check them out on the web at www.woodlandswellness.com.
Does your child do poorly in school due to poor focus and lack of attention? Are you being pressured by teachers and doctors to put your child on medication to treat ADD or ADHD, but are nervous about the potential side effects of the medications such as poor appetite and delayed growth? In today's fast-paced society, most children's diets are inadequate and provide large quantities of refined sugars with minimal vitamins and minerals. Nutritional deficiencies are very common in children diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and have been shown to have a strong relationship with such abnormal behavior. A safe and natural alternative exists. To find out more on how you can help your child without the side effects of medications, call Town Center Wellness today at 281-240-2229. Town Center Wellness, 281-240-2229.
Have you been put on medications by your doctor to treat symptoms of disease, but no one is doing anything to identify your problem? Have you been told that you need to see a psychiatrist because your symptoms don't fit the doctor's prescription pad? Don't be a victim of mainstream sick care. Dr. Osborne specializes in helping you find the answers to unresolved health problems. The future of medicine can be found at Town Center Wellness. Dr. Osborne utilizes state-of-the-art technology through genetics, specialized laboratory testing, and more to help identify the causes of your symptoms and personalize a treatment plan for you. At Town Center Wellness, you're not just another patient, you are a person. Obtain excellent health through genetic accommodation. Call today for an appointment at 281-240-2229. That's 281-240-2229. Or visit us on the web at TownCenterWellness.com. That's TownCenterWellness.com.
You take vitamins every day, but how can you be sure you're getting all the nutrients you need to stay healthy? Most of us try to stay fit, but how many of us know exactly how healthy we actually are? In fact, studies show that 50% of people who take vitamins have deficiencies that can suppress immune function and contribute to chronic illness. SpectraCell's patented blood test measures vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in the body's cells to determine if you're getting all you need. For more information in the name of a clinician near you, go to www.spectracell.com or call 713-621-3101.
Welcome back in black, everybody. You're on the air with Dr. Osborne and Dr. Davis and Dr. Gill. Tonight, the topic is nutrigenomics, and this is Alternatives for Healthy Living and for health and wellness. And if you'd like to call in with a question, the number here is 281-558-5738. We encourage your calls. Eloise, we're going to get back to her. She had a question, another question. Eloise, you're in Clear Lake. Go ahead.
Yes, my question, and again, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it. On the homestein, is that the way it's pronounced? Is there a count number that is normal for everybody, or is everybody different? You know, I did have a blood test done, and I felt within normal. It seemed, you know, how they'll give you a range. So is that the way y'all see that, or do y'all look at it in another way?
Well, different labs are going to have different reference ranges for homocysteine. See, the way that labs develop their reference ranges is usually based on something we call a standard deviation bell curve based on a population study of several thousand people in that particular area. So we even see from time to time reference ranges change. But no, this, measuring homocysteine levels is the way to check for high homocysteine. But realize that just looking at homocysteine in and of itself is inherently limiting, because it's just one marker, it's just one piece of information. So yeah, there's a basic reference range for homocysteine. Typically, clinically, we like to see the number below 12, and if it's anything above 12, then we're looking at increased risk. Now, some labs will tell you that, you know, 13 and 14 are okay. I can just tell you from my own clinical experience, that's typically not the case. I typically start to see problems in patients from a cardiovascular perspective, you know, once those levels go any higher than that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And one real quick question, and then I'll hang up. Do you have any opinions on soy? I've been reading the pros and cons, and I lean toward against soy. Do you have any preference? I mean, do you like soy?
I don't like soy, and I'll tell you why. It's the number one genetically modified food crop on the planet. And that being said, we don't know the long-term effects of genetic modification. It's in its infancy, and there's no long-term safety studies that have really been done. And those people that use soy as a health food are they're basically the guinea pig, in my opinion. But the other reason why I don't recommend soy is because it has a history. If you go back to China, when they were planting soy, they actually originally didn't use soy as a crop to eat. They used it as a nitrogen retainer for the soil. So they used it to grow their plants more efficiently. They wouldn't actually eat the soy because it had enzymes in it that actually inhibited the body's ability to digest other nutrients. And so soy in and of itself was never really grown as a food crop per se. It's just been in the last, probably 20 years that it's been highly marketed and effectively marketed as a health food, even though really the primary reason soy has been marketed are two chemicals found in soy that you can get without eating soy. That have benefit for estrogen metabolism and for stroke risk, etc. So to answer your question, no, I don't like soy, but some people would probably argue that, but that's theirs to argue. Matt, in the Woodlands, we've got... I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, I think we lost that call. Matt in the Woodlands, line 4, what you got?
Yeah, Doc, I went out to your website after last week and took a look, and you had an approach to ADD, ADHD. I've got a young man that is having some trouble in that area. We're currently doing the normal protocol, would like to stop doing that. Wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can do to help ADD, ADHD. I mean, first of all, is looking at how he was actually diagnosed, because that's something that in a history, in a good history, a lot of schools, they get extra money to diagnose kids or to force parents or put pressure on parents to get them that diagnosis. I'm not saying that that's your case, but that's one of the first things as a clinician that I look at. Secondly, what can we do to really look at a child with ADD and help in the treatment? Well, there are a lot of things. From a diet perspective, there are certain chemicals in the diet, artificial colors, artificial flavorings, and other sweeteners and sugars and things that actually affect neurochemistry or the chemistry of the brain. So we look at that avenue. But we also genetically, one of the things that we were talking about earlier about cardiovascular disease and testing genetically these B vitamin pathways, realize that these B vitamin pathways also play a role in the formation of certain neurochemicals like dopamine and epinephrine and serotonin. And so if you've got a child who's been diagnosed with a neuropsychiatric disorder, it makes very good sense to genetically identify whether or not he's at risk for abnormal brain chemistry, and then address that from a lifestyle perspective, excuse me. But also you want to look at nutrient deficiencies. You want to see, you know, genetically he may have the risk for different deficiencies, but in actuality, does he really have those deficiencies? And so there are different tests that can be performed to measure all of these things. And it's a more comprehensive, it's a more individualized approach. I know it's an approach that Dr. Davis uses commonly in her office as well. It's an approach we use here in our office. It's an approach that Dr. Merritt uses. And great labs like Siona Labs that put together great tests for clinicians to actually be able to incorporate in their practice and extrapolate that data and apply it to their patients to get them better makes healthcare, to me, makes it fantastically fun. I enjoy it. I hope I answered your question. I hope that's satisfactory for you. If you've got more questions, Feel free to call my office. Feel free to call Dr. Davis's office. But call and get informed, because the whole point of the show is to inform people about alternative methods, about methods that are maybe not mainstream, that you wouldn't hear about in the regular doctor's office, and that are just as effective as the, if not more effective, really, in my opinion, as a mainstream healthcare model, which has a failed paradigm, basically. So we hope to get you back next week. We hope to invite you back next week. We're going to have another new topic and another new guest, and so feel free to drop by. If you didn't hear the show, or you know somebody who would benefit from hearing the show, have them sign up on towncenterwellness.com. Go there. The radio shows are posted there. They can get a repeat of the show. They can hear it outside. But we got to go for tonight, and so I want to encourage you to come back next week and have a great evening. God bless.
If you're thinking about it, we're not just talking about it. We're doing something about it. Radioactive, AM 700 KSEV, Tomball, Houston.
This program has been paid for all or in part by the host, and KSEV is not responsible for its content and or products or services offered.
The Agriculture Department says farmers are planning to plant 8% less corn this year, corn widely used in the food industry and also in ethanol. Democrats say the Bush administration should concentrate on easing the country's economic woes rather than propose a plan for revamping financial regulations. The plan would cast the Fed as top cop with broad powers and corrective authority. Christopher Dodd, chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, says it's wrong for the administration to make it sound like the proposed overhaul will fix everything.
There's been plenty of regulation. The failure is leadership, the failure of the administration to utilize the tools they've been given over the years to deal with the very practices that caused this problem. That's the problem here, not reorganization of the regulatory system.
A bit of a rally on the final trading day of the first quarter, the Dow gaining 46 points. Police say a Maryland man charged with drowning his three young children in a Baltimore hotel bathtub over the weekend was motivated by his divorce. His former wife said,